You're listening to another top-rated show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome. I am Commander Tom Garcia, your host today for the American Hour on the USA Talk Radio Network. And we do have Steve Rosenblum and Daria DiGiovanni following us again today. But you need to go to the webpage, usatalkradionetwork.com. They won't be broadcasting on this same broadcast as they did yesterday. Their broadcast will be coming through on their own broadcast page. So go to usatalkradionetwork.com if you want to listen to Steve and Daria again today. We've got a great lineup, fast-paced show today. We're going to get right into it because our guest, Kelly Townsend, the leader and founder of the Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots, is with us. And she just got back from visiting with Donald Trump in New York, and she's got in just a few minutes a meeting with the Speaker of the House of the Arizona State Legislature. So while she goes and does her meeting, and hopefully it'll be a productive meeting, and is able to get back to us, Chris Rossiter, who is her vice president of the Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots, will fill in and talk with him. And of course, we want to hear from Chris as well because he's right in the thick of things there. So let's bring them right on now. We're talking to Kelly Townsend and Chris Rossiter. Kelly, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me. And I don't want to forget my co-founder, Les White. So I want to make
sure Les recognition is
too.
All right. Well, great.
How are you doing?
Good. Well, we're really excited about having you on the show, and Chris is with you also. How are you doing today, Chris?
Good. Thanks for having us, Tom.
Okay, yeah, we're really excited and interested to hear what you guys have to say. But, Kelly, tell us where people can find out more information about your organization and any other organizations or groups you may be affiliated with that people ought to know about.
Well, our website's real easy. It's greaterphoenixteaparty.com. And we're an umbrella organization, so we have several groups that are within ours that are listed there on the website. So if somebody was in the area and interested in plugging in, they can go to the website, go to groups, and then find the group in their geographical area.
Awesome. Okay, that's great. Yeah, so Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots.com.
No, no. Oh. No, GreaterPhoenixTeaParty.com. No page.
Oh, just Tea Party, not with a page. Okay, so GreaterPhoenixTeaParty.com. All right, well, now you just got back from New York, and you had a meeting with Donald Trump. How did that go?
Oh, that was fantastic. We had about 30 minutes to meet with Mr. Trump, and we had three objectives, all of which we were able to accomplish with him. He was very accommodating and a delightful person. We really enjoyed it.
Is there anything that stood out that you think the listeners ought to know about?
Oh, absolutely. You know, our primary objective when we went there was to get his support for House Bill 2177, which is it's basically having to do with the elections, making sure that the person who is running for office is eligible for the office that they seek, and it gives our Secretary of State power to scrutinize the documents that they submit and determine whether or not they're valid or not.
Okay, and so he was willing to support that, and he was very much
in favor of that. He said he was happy to support that, and was interested in what is going on in Arizona. That was our second objective, was to see if we could have him come out, meet the dignitaries in our state, and also give him opportunity to discuss these issues, and if in the future he were ever to decide to run for office for the president, then obviously we would give him opportunity to speak to the folks about that. But as we know, he has yet to make his announcement, so he's still contemplating that issue. But, you know, hypothetically, if he were to do that, we would very much welcome him out here. So,
yeah, I know that, and I guess I should have pulled up the details on it, that in Florida coming up here, I believe this week, he's going to be in Florida talking to a large group of patriot type groups. And he's making the rounds, talking with people, and he certainly wants to get the Tea Party support and the Patriot support in this country, because everybody's seen what we're capable of doing, and so that's a good thing. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go so you can get prepared to meet with the speaker. Well, no, we've got another 5 minutes. You said you need to be with him at quarter after, so can you go another 5 minutes here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm a little bit flexible, so we're okay.
Okay. All right. So the meeting with Trump went well, and he supports ensuring that people are eligible for election. That's whoever would have thought that would have been such a big, important issue these days.
Well,
but,
you know, anytime you create legislation, it's because there's an issue that needs to be solved, and obviously we have a major issue on our hands, and that whether or not it is valid, it does require that we close those holes, and that's what this legislation does. I don't think anybody can argue that we need to make sure that we enact the legislation so that somebody who is running for office makes sure that they are eligible. And so it just basically gives the Secretary of State that power to determine that. And, you know, and I really appreciate Mr. Trump, because he is somebody who is seeking truth, basically, and he's wanting to educate himself on all these issues. And you got to appreciate that. He's not looking at the issues and how can I use this issue for myself. He doesn't care if it's controversial or whatever. He says, what are the facts involved and how do we need to address it and fix problems? So that was very impressive.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's great. You know, isn't it interesting how when the federal government wants to get something done and the Constitution, it can use the Constitution to promote that, it will. But when it doesn't want the states to do something, it will ignore the Constitution and ignore what the Constitution either says or doesn't say. And so, you know, here's a perfect case. We've got a state that wants to ensure people are eligible to run for a particular office, and we have a Constitution, a U.S. Constitution, that specifies what those requirements are.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when it comes to immigration law, we've got a federal government that says, oh, immigration is our deal. You can't do anything about it. You can't enforce it, et cetera. Well, so that would mean then we can't enforce as a state eligibility rules that are in the Constitution. And we'll talk about this. I'll talk about this a little later with Chris. But how many federal crimes are there that local and state law enforcement officers have every right and are allowed to enforce in our country, and the federal government doesn't say, no, you can't arrest bank robbers, and no, you can't arrest cocaine dealers. But when it comes to enforcing illegal immigration, all of a sudden, nope, you're stepping on the federal government's toes, you can't do that. What a joke. It doesn't make any sense.
I'd like to speak to that, you know, sidestep it a little bit, but it does apply. When you talk about their selective enforcement of the Constitution, I've been studying personally. There's a show produced by BBC called The Death of Yugoslavia. And while, you know, we had six states within Yugoslavia that then seceded and became, you know, and we had, as you remember, with Bosnia and Serbia and the terrible war that ensued, before that started, there was a declaration from the president of Croatia who said, because Croatia had every right to leave Yugoslavia because Serbia tore up the Constitution. And it's that kind of language. Are we headed for that? Are we headed for a upheaval in our country because the federal government, you know, Yugoslavia, for example, was their federal government, ignored the Constitution? That's a very dangerous thing. And the people, we can see this just happened, you know, in the 90s. That was not long ago. People will not tolerate that. And when the federal government usurps the Constitution, we're looking for some upheaval that we do not want. And the states have got to stand up and say, enforce the Constitution. It is the governing document of our land. And if it doesn't happen, we are heading for some dangerous waters that we do not want to see. And hopefully they will take heed to that. It's not looking like it, but
yeah,
we can change that in 2012. We can change that in 2012. It's up to the people. Every individual has a stake in this. And
exactly.
So we all have to do our due diligence. And this is, you know, part of the legislation that we're dealing with and with elections at both sides. We have to do that due diligence as an individual because we do not want to see what happened in Yugoslavia happen here in the United States.
No, we don't want to see that. I think really the solution is instead of, you know, tearing up the Constitution, if we would just start following it. But there's
exactly.
A lot of disagreement about what it means.
Yeah, that's a novel idea.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When I ran for Congress and announced, that would have been, almost 3 years ago now, at this August, My platform was the Constitution. Think back, you know, 3 years ago, how many people were that focused on the Constitution? I really, because I've always been a real Constitution hound, I thought, I said, this is, we're headed into really, really dangerous waters and things are going to really start getting ugly. People need to wake up and realize what kinds of constitutional violations are already going on, and I only see it getting worse. So that's the good thing is we are, I think, waking up and realizing the American people in general are much more in tune with
absolutely
the Constitution. And it was probably about a year into my campaign, I was driving and I saw a bumper sticker on a van that said, read the Constitution. I thought, yes, finally people are starting to get it, and we'll start doing it. I know there are plenty of people who have and always have, but the masses really weren't. And so one of my campaigns with this radio show is to help people understand the Constitution better and just get them reading it. But we're going to let you go, Kelly, and turn the questioning over and discussion over to Chris so you can get ready and go meet with the speaker, and then hopefully you'll be able to make it back before the end of the show.
Well, and I just wanted to thank you, too, because as veterans, you know, you've raised your hand and made an oath to protect that Constitution, and so have I. And I think every citizen needs to do that same thing in their heart, whether they're in the military or not, to give that oath. We will protect and defend this Constitution from all enemies, domestic and foreign. So thank you for doing that. I thank you for your service. And thanks for having me on your show.
Yes, well, thank you, Kelly. Hopefully you'll make it back. If not, we'll get you another time. And thank you for your service and your continued service as a true patriot here in the United States of America. All right, good luck.
You as well. Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Well, Chris, you know, okay, show's over. Yeah, boy, I know. That's why I was really looking forward to having Kelly on. If she can make it back, if she can't, then we've definitely got to get her back on again, because I know a lot of people want to hear what she has to say and her thoughts on specifically some of the things going on in Arizona. But I know that you've probably spent plenty of time talking to Kelly about your thoughts and her thoughts, et cetera. But talk to the people right now about what you think is the biggest concern, and it may be a state issue or it may be a national issue, but the biggest concern that you see as you're out and around of Arizonans right now?
Well, I would say it's more to the greatest concern of the Tea Party at this point, because we're looking at a lot of different fronts right now that we probably didn't think that we'd have to face. You know, you see with this budget deal in Congress right now, and that's, you know, talk about falling way short of what the people want, you know.
Yes.
That's very, very frustrating. And, you know, the Tea Party just has to stay intact, and it has to stay focused on what brought us to this point. And, you know, I kind of joke, I call myself Tea Party Secret Service, you know, because I'm kind of always been behind the scenes. I don't enjoy the spotlight whatsoever, and Kelly drags me kicking and screaming to anything like this, you know. But as far as, you know, some of the stuff we're seeing is, you know, groups that are trying to infiltrate the Tea Parties and marginalize them, you know, even groups that you would think would be friendly to our cause and stuff like that. So not only are we having to fight our traditional fights that we're fighting and keep our eye on Congress and keep our eye on state and local government, but we're also having to watch our own back door and make sure that some of these groups are not infiltrating. And we just had a Tea Party convention here in I think it was in March, and we were getting the same stories from all across the country about how, you know, not to just vilify the GOP, but a lot of GOP establishment Republicans were trying to take over Tea Party organizations. And so we are having to, you know, I'm just so busy right now dealing with everything, and then I got to deal with those issues as well right now. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm very disappointed. And we've got liberals that are telling us that these cuts are going to harm the economy. I didn't know that the federal government created jobs and created wealth and was the economy. If the federal government is the economy, then we are in a socialistic country now, because that's how socialistic economies run. The government is the economy. But we are not in that kind of a environment. And so, you know, if you just see what happened in the last couple of days, where Obama, you know, said in 2006 that increasing America's debt weakens us domestically and internationally, but now his presidential spokesman, Jay Carney, is saying, and this is what gets me, I'm going to, you know, Kelly was in the military. I spent, 22 years, a career as a military officer, and I considered myself to be not only a leader, but I thought I was a good leader. And I think that'd be reflected in some of the accomplishments I had, particularly as I got more senior. I don't know, Chris, did you serve in the military?
No, I didn't, but I really wish I had.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to know so I could, address you properly if you had. But here's what Jay Carney said. He said, Obama thinks it was a mistake for the way he voted in 2006. He thinks? We've got a president of the United States of America who thinks? He doesn't know? Okay, I think that's very sad. And so, one of the things he did say back then, though, that the fact that we're here debating this, raising America's debt limit, is a sign of leadership failure. He said that back then. He recognized the failure of leadership, and yet today he only thinks maybe that was a mistake. So he's not a leader at all, and I don't know that he ever is going to be a leader, but he's a very poor one. And then, of course, now he believes that it's important to the health of our economy and the global economy. He's always worried about the rest of the world, but even just if he hadn't said that, in 2006, raising the debt's bad for the economy, but today it's good. What we're dealing with is really an incompetent, absolutely incompetent administration that really says things based on politics. And it is frustrating. Yeah, we've absolutely got to get rid of this guy, and we've got to make sure that the media holds his administration accountable for the things that it has done. And I know they're not going to want to, but we can pressure them and do everything we can, especially as a Tea Party group. When you guys go out and do a little protesting, the media generally comes, do they not?
They do, yeah, and one of the neat things here in Phoenix is, for some reason, if they ever want an opinion on what the Tea Party thinks, they always go to our website to see what's going on. So I don't know why that is, but we do have a lot of media presence that are very interested in what the Tea Party says and thinks and such, and it's blessing because we can actually get our story out a lot of times here, even in Arizona. So
right. Well, I was just reading the article the other day, and I should have pulled up a copy of that. But one of the articles about how the circuit judges ruled that the bulk of Arizona's immigration law interferes with the federal government. Now, they didn't base their decision on anything constitutional. They didn't cite anything in the Constitution as being violated. Any prohibition in the Constitution, because we know the only prohibitions in the Constitution really for the states have to do with commerce for the most part, and then a little bit with the military, but and coining money. Okay, so there's a few things, but certainly not securing their borders. And really, if you look at the 10th Amendment, and we're all familiar with the 10th Amendment, but it says powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited to the states. So in other words, if there's a power that hasn't been delegated to the federal government, the states get to do that as long as they haven't been prohibited. Now, we have a power that has been delegated to the federal government, immigration. But how many other powers have been delegated to the federal government that we still, as state and local governments, enforce or work on? As I mentioned earlier, what about law enforcement? Look at everything that goes on in law enforcement in our local. Now, yes, if somebody robs a bank and it's a federal crime, then the FBI may show up and then take over. But do the local cops stand there and go, hey, there's a bank robbery going on across the street? Well, we're not federal. We can't handle that. We'll just sit here. No, we do that. And has the federal government ever ruled in cases like that or anything like that? Absolutely not. So what they're basing it on is saying that there's some possibility of interference with the federal government when, in fact, they didn't cite any examples of interference with the federal government by local and state law enforcement agencies enacting this law, or carrying out this immigration law. They just simply stated it without any fact or any examples or any past examples of problems that the federal government has cited. So it clearly was a panel of judges. Well, they were split, but it was split. But
well,
they
upheld Susan Bolton's findings as far as the injunctions that she put in place. We were actually there in court in the federal courthouse there, Senator D. O'Connor building in Phoenix, when they at all the hearings essentially for that bill. And boy, you want to talk about something that just gave you goosebumps. It was, of course we had Jan Brewer and our governor and her team of attorneys representing Arizona. But when the judge recognized the council that was bringing the case, they all stood up and said, you know, such and such attorney for the United States against Arizona. So to hear the United States against its own people, essentially,
right,
against the people of Arizona, is actually how they put it. You're just like, I mean, are you kidding me? We're sitting here, we're trying to defend our own state, our border. You guys won't do it. You've abandoned your responsibility. And to tell us as a state we cannot protect ourselves, I mean, it's just unconscionable.
It is.
So, yeah, we've been following this thing from day one. And kind of a funny thing about that is, you know, when everybody's out there doing all the protests and stuff, one of these people to watch really is Kelly Townsend, because she was off over there with probably about 15 or 20 other folks down there at the Capitol working on supporting Bill 1070 to get it passed. They followed it almost from the beginning through the signing. They were down there the day when there were thousands of people being bused in order to, kids from L.A. that not only were they probably not here legally, they were not definitely not of voting age, you know, and they just had adults that were herding them around to do all this stuff. But there's probably 20 to 40 of us on our side just standing there, you know, standing our ground out there with flags and whatever like that, and you know, being spit on, everything like that. And it was a remarkable thing to see. But then to add to that, the federal government coming in and suing its own people because they just want to defend themselves and stand up for the rule of law. It's just it's a sad thing to see. And I just, you know, talk about the Constitution and all these other things, you know, that you guys took the oath to protect and defend. You know, what do you do when the government's not doing that, when they're just, you know, using it as toilet paper, essentially? It's just tough.
Right, right.
Very sad.
I agree. Well, you know, what we need to do is elect them out of office. And, you know, I don't know about you guys there in Phoenix. We, in Florida, it was common to hear Tea Party groups say, we're going to unelect this person or unelect that person. And me being the logical military thinking kind of guy, because I'm always looking for, you know, a solution and, you know, not the answer. I already know what I think the answer I want to be, but how do you get to that answer? What's the solution? And I would say to people, well, how do you unelect somebody? Well, we don't vote for them. Yeah, who do you vote for? We vote for somebody else. And here was always the catch. I'd say, so who is the person you're going to vote for? One of the things that I think we learned in Florida was you've got to start vetting candidates early. You don't wait till the last minute to start vetting candidates because it'll be overwhelming and you can't get it done. And so I see in Florida, and you can tell me if this is true in Arizona, the Tea Party groups and the Patriot groups are gearing up to start that vetting as people start announcing for state, local, and federal races in the summer. We already have a few in Florida that have announced for the U.S. Senate. And I don't know if we have any that have announced for any congressional, significant congressional seats yet. So, but they're already, some of the senatorial candidates are making the rounds, and the Tea Party groups are welcoming them to talk with them. There was even a group, the Titusville Patriots, had a gentleman, and I apologize, I can't remember his name, but a presidential candidate, not one that you might recognize the name, but had a presidential candidate, boy, just last month already. So they're really getting on top of things. Do you see that happening with the Tea Party groups in Arizona?
Oh, definitely. In fact, you know, there's other groups throughout the valley that, you know, either split off from us or were their own groups, and they are dedicated 100% to that mission. I mean, that's all they do. One group is they call themselves the AZ 2012 Project now, and they recruit and they vet, and then they support candidates and bring those to the attention of the other Tea Party groups in order to get behind them. So we do that as well, and we have different groups, and those different groups have either weekly meetings or bi-monthly meetings, and at those they bring in the candidates, and the people get to ask them definitely the hard questions and do whatever, and to see who, you know, who we should be getting behind. And,
right.
The deal that, you know, we had the advantage pretty early on there in 2009 when the whole Tea Party thing started, of a couple of individuals who realized the value of the precinct committeeman process and getting involved in the political parties and, you know, trying to change them from within. But the thing that we're finding now is a lot of those, the parties that you go in and get involved with, they kind of expect a quid pro quo, and now they're coming in and trying to take over your organization. Or say, hey, yeah. You guys have, you know, you've earned a spot at the table because you've got some political clout now, so you got some chips in the game, come sit down at the table. And the thing that we always try to do, at least in our organization, and encourage other Tea Parties across the country, is to realize that their power lies in being an external force in the political process. You can't think that you're going to sit down at the same table and play the game as it's always been played, and somehow you're not going to get corrupted by that process or anything like that. So the Tea Party needs to have some semblance of maintaining its own external structure and being a influence the political process that way as a really strong political force that cannot be co-opted by the game, you know. And so yeah. that's one thing we struggle with, how to do that, how to work on that, how to stay pure, you know. And I swear I spend, you know, 12 hours a day on that right now, because it's just something that we should have all seen coming, that would happen, that, you know, that the McCains and the establishment Republicans would try and infiltrate and marginalize our movement. But now we know how that comes, how they do it, and stuff like that. And so we've spent a lot of effort fighting that, but staying up on the cause of everything else we're supposed to be doing. So it's a full-time job, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I imagine. I'm going to do a little plugging here for an organization that I really like and have been a part of and try to help out as much as I can over the years, and it's the National Veterans Homeless Support. And if you go to nvhs.us, you can find out more about them. But I know a lot of people tend to listen to this show from Central Florida and the Space Coast, where I ran for Congress, and they're having their first annual golf tournament to support homeless vets and wounded warriors. They're combining. Now, the NVHS used to always do a golf tournament, but this is a combined tournament. So it's not only the NVHS, but you've got the U.S. Veterans Response Team, which their address looks like on the web is usvrt.us. Okay, so Saturday, April 30th, this month. Shotgun starts at 8 a.m. It's a scramble game, $90 per golfer, $360 per four. And so go to their websites, look them up, and here's a number. Anybody out there wants to find out, it's going to – and I didn't even say where they're going to do their golf tournament. It's in Vieira. It's going to be at the Duran Golf Club at the Stadium Parkway in Vieira. So there's a number here to call. It's probably the VHS, 321-676-8706. And, again, you can go to the website for the National Veterans Homeless Support at nvhs.us. Okay, and the other group I want to shout out to is the Kitchen Table Patriots. They did a fantastic job in this last election up in Pennsylvania. Anybody that's interested in their efforts and how they were successful and why they were successful, especially if you're just starting up a group or you're trying to fire up your group a little bit, just go to thekitchentablepatriots.us, all spelled out. And that did start with the word thekitchentablepatriots.us. Good group to check out. And we are here on the air with Chris, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull up the press release, Chris Rossiter, who is a vice president of the Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots. We had Kelly Townsend on just a little bit earlier. She had to go speak with the Speaker of the House, so the Arizona State House. They've got some business going on there, and so we wish her luck with whatever she's working on there. But she's a very, very active patriot, and we were glad to have her on the show for even just a little bit of time. If she can make it back, I know how those meetings go. I have a feeling she won't make it back. But if she can, then we'll be more than happy and glad to have her back on. And in the meantime, Chris, tell people where they can find out more about the Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots.
Well, our primary tool is our website, which is greaterphoenixteaparty.com. And it's a naming site. So it's also a social networking site. So people can actually join up on there for free and keep track of what's going on in Arizona. On our front page, we put news stories up there all the time. We put action items so that people can, find out what the legislation is that we are currently supporting or opposing. And just any kind of activity that we need help with, we put that up there and get going on that. One of the cool things right now that we we're just joined up with a group called American Teen Leadership Camps. Last weekend, and we're going to be representing them in Arizona. And what they do is they put on two-day camps for teenagers. I'm not sure the exact age range. I think it's about 12 to 17, but it's exactly what it sounds like. It's leadership. And you'd be amazed. They take these kids who, you know, just spend all their time texting and Nintendo and whatever, and they put them in these camps, and they teach them American conservative principles in action by example, by these great exercises that they came up with. And by the end of the camp, these kids have turned from, you know, people that just follow the herd and, you know, just do their own thing and seem unaffected by everything. They turned from that into complete leaders who are not fooled by anything. And it's
wow.
Just, it's amazing to see.
That's
they've
awesome.
They've been doing this for... Yeah, they've been doing it for 7 years. They've got a contract to do the Marine Junior ROTC programs in the Desert Southwest, but they also do these camps for civilians. So we're really going to get behind this program, and we're going to be working with charter schools and homeschoolers and you know, any other thing we can think of to, you know, because if we don't reach the youth, that's the one thing that's really missing from this Tea Party movement is it's so much gray hair. I think somebody told me that the average Tea Party person is 58 years old.
Wow.
And we have no chance. And, you know, what we can say to this young generation, hey, we messed this up for you, and only you can get it right for yourself. And it teaches them, you know, that respect and responsibility are the two things that we witness just blossoming in these kids, just, like I say, overnight.
That's awesome.
And,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, we had a really nice young man, 23-year-old Rick from Columbus, Ohio, calling earlier in the week, and smart young guy, and he said, you know, hey, just basically what you just said, he said, we're going to have to work together because you guys are pretty much okay. You're going to continue to live on your lives. Things may get worse around here, and I'm the one that's really going to pay the price. And I said, you're absolutely right, and we owe you the effort to try and turn these things around and make things better. But we've got a call, Chris, coming from, I recognize the area code, Tucson, because that's where I grew up, and we got Les on the phone. I'm going to bring him on here. He's got a comment, and I think he's going to tell us maybe about a website with some information. Is that you, Les? You're on the air now. Go ahead.
Hello, me?
Yeah, you're from Tucson, Arizona. Say your name again.
I think you got the wrong person. I'm in Phoenix.
Oh, I looked at the area code, and that's the area code we used to use in Tucson, and you know what? They did change the area code in Tucson. So it's been many years. I lived there when I was a kid. So, yeah, okay, go. Yeah, please, jump on in here. What's your first name?
My name is Les White. I'm the co-founder of Greater Phoenix Tea Party with Kelly Townsend.
Oh, perfect. Good. Well, I'm glad you called in, Les. Thanks.
Yeah, I wanted to hear the show and just touch base with you guys. And, yeah, it sounds like we're working on getting these things resolved here. And as far as the Chris's comment with the kids is concerned, yeah, we definitely need to reach out to the kids. I don't know if talk radio is a format, the internet, but probably our social networking sites is going to be a way to do that. And so, you know, I was just caught in the last few minutes of this conversation. But I just wanted to say hi and basically just, you know, let everyone know that we're working really hard that we're trying to pass this legislation, as you know, about the Burford Bill, and we're anticipating a lot of, you know, media coverage with that. So I don't know, as a talk show host, what you think, your outlook is on that, but we're anticipating this is going to really, really bring some political awareness to the situation.
Yeah, you know, I see people come on and, you know, different media outlets and say, oh, there's plenty of proof out there that he was born, you know, and the governor of Hawaii and... You know, I'm not really sure that, you know, that may or may not be true. And I've seen anybody can forge a document and fake a document. And if the governor of Hawaii came out and said something, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I'd have to check into that. But I do know this. I have a birth certificate. It would be real easy to have a notary or somebody take a look at it and go, yep, this is a real birth certificate. And it would end all that. You'd almost think, is he trying to not play along with it, but people just keep going? Maybe he knows. Let's just say, for example, our president was born in Hawaii, and so he's just letting people spin their wheels on something that he knows really is of no consequence. On the other hand, I've read in places that a lot of money has been spent to stonewall and stop people from accessing transcripts and other data from, say, the hospital and other schools and things like that. so that they can't get that information. I'm thinking, well, why would all that money be spent for that? But I don't really know if that's a fact. I think it'd be real simple. It'd be very simple that if you guys, if even just a few states, a few important states, key states, were to pass bills like what you're passing, he'd have to prove, he can't just say, well, I'm already the president, I don't have to. No, you're running again, and you have to prove that you're eligible every single time. And that would put a huge burden on him. Then we would know the truth, or he would have to put something out there to whatever committee
that's
or...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that's exactly what we're hoping that will happen, that other states will catch on. And in addition to that, though, I've heard a good argument, and as a talk show host, you get arguments all the time, so maybe I'll pose it to you and you tell me what the argument is. But I've heard people say, you know, well, you got to think back in the primaries, the Clinton machine was against Obama. So if this was an issue, why wasn't it exposed at that point? Why didn't they bring it up? And what's your answer to that?
That's a really good point. I would be really surprised if they, you know, if that were true and they had not looked into that. It may just be a case of the establishment, the Democrat establishment, saying, we want to push this guy and he's going to be it. And sorry, but you know, and if you try pushing back too hard, we'll make you look bad. I don't know. Inside politics, I tell you what, I just in my own congressional race and the little exposure I got, I didn't get elected, but boy, I got to meet a lot of elected officials and get to hear some stories and the kind of things that you normally don't do as an average voter. And my goodness, there's some ugly stuff that goes on. And a lot of the stories I heard were even just at the state level. And those people are part-time. Now, I realize they have very important jobs, but technically they work part-time for the state. They don't make much money doing that. And some of the stuff that I've heard going on, I mean, I can't even talk about this stuff on the radio. It's bad, bad stuff. So I don't really know. I haven't heard any good stories or even rumors about why, but you're absolutely right. Some group like the Clintons, if there were any truth to that, you think they would have pulled that out of a hat, but who knows? And I honestly don't know. How hard would it be to cover up the fact that you weren't born in the U.S. if you weren't born in the U.S.? I would think that would be an astronomical, undertaking to try and hide that, cover that up. I don't know. Maybe not. You know, there just wasn't the technology back then that we have today, so maybe it's
true,
not that hard.
It still begs the question. It boils down to one thing. It's easy enough to get your long form. Go get it and then shut it down.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. Just go get it and be done with it.
Well, if enough states...
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, well, okay, thanks for coming on, Les. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, Chris, so what did you think of that? What do you think about this bill? I'm not...
Well,
I try to be kind of a little middle in the road on this because I'm thinking, you know, just like Les said, what if... But you know what? It's easy enough for the states. If the states all pass bills that said you're going to have to actually prove... Anybody that wants to run for president has got to prove that they're eligible, and the states can do that because the states get to determine the voting process and within their state, and if that's what they want to do, boy, then he'll have to produce.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's, you know, my deal is I don't know one way or the other, and there's, you know, I see arguments on both sides of it, but it, you know, why not remove it from the equation? Just say, okay,
exactly.
If you want to appear on the ballot in our state, you have to prove that you meet all the requirements to fulfill for that office.
Like is that the liberals just get so worked up. They get in a total lather over this issue, and they think it's racism and hatred and all this other stuff playing out because somebody questions whether he has a birth certificate or not. You know, I don't question. The governor of Hawaii said he does. Great. By the way, we're passing a bill here in Florida that is going to require everybody to prove that they were born a U.S. citizen. Oh, you're a birther. No, I want everybody. Forget President Obama. I'm pretty confident he was born in the U.S. I think it would have been too hard to cover up. But what about somebody else comes along? You know, we're in a day and an age and an era where we've just got a lot of people that have come, you know, around my time frame. I'm a little older than Obama, but, you know, my time frame through his that, you know, started travel. It was easier to travel and get around and people floating all over the place. And it's easy to, maybe cover something like that up if you're in my age group. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it all, and I don't think it's a conspiracist idea. We've just had a lot of question over it. Let's just eliminate, as you said, and that's the perfect thing. Let's just eliminate the whole question about it. If you want to vote in certain states that have those laws, then you produce a birth certificate.
Sure, and I mean, if you look at, you know, you said it yourself earlier that politics is so dirty and you can't even believe some of the stuff that happens. I mean, if an entire party is committed to lying in order to, gain constituents, I mean, that's what they're, you know, they want to even import a whole constituency class. That's why they're advocates of, open borders and illegal immigration,
right.
Because they're running out of people that are buying into their thing. So if they're that committed, if that's where they get their audience from, then, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to be able to at least try something like this.
Well, think about the security issue, and, this is kind of one of the things that I look at a lot of times. What if Obama wasn't born and there's just been this big cover-up, okay? He's beholden to somebody for the help, all the help of the cover-up, and there are people that know. And that's the kind of thing you can hold over somebody's head and say, you'll go down in history as a fraud if we expose this, so you're going to do what we want. And I don't know who the we is, but that's the kind of thing. You don't want politicians, especially at high levels like that, that are being leveraged, that are, could be completely leveraged in every single thing they do. And that is a problem. So if there is a potential issue, then I'd like to know myself just for security purposes, not because I don't like them and want to see them gone, and that's absolutely true, but for security purposes. So let's say it was my favorite guy. Let's say my choice for the Republican nominee in this next race, and he gets elected, and then we find out that maybe he's not a U.S. citizen and that there was some kind of cover-up. I would be concerned for security purposes that who knows this and who's holding this over his head and forcing him to do things that maybe he wouldn't make decisions that he wouldn't be making if he wasn't, didn't have this gun to his head. So I think there's a bit of a security issue here as well, and people have to understand that we don't want a president or senators and congressmen and women that are being leveraged with blackmail-type issues that could, not only harm their career as a politician, but then, ruin their reputation forever. So that's kind of an issue there. Let's see, what else is going on? Well, Kelly started talking a little bit about the debt, and she didn't quite phrase it as the debt, but the way that our elected officials have been voting on cutting the size of the federal government. I went and did some research a couple of years ago, and it hasn't changed a lot, although the debt has gone up and the amount we spend on an annual basis. But we spend about $1.3 trillion on Social Security and Medicare. And the media tells us these are the albatrosses. These are the anchors around our neck. These are the entitlement programs that are killing us. And, of course, the military is always big. And I know that there's waste in the military. I wrote an op-ed last year about the F-35 alternate engine and the waste that was there. And thank goodness we got rid of it, but not after spending $650 million to get it going last year. So there's a lot of waste in the military, and that F-35 alternate engine, I don't believe, was under mandatory military funding. There's lots of military funding that's non-mandatory, and you know what that amounts to? Pork. It's somebody bringing home the bacon to their district or their state that wasn't asked for by the Defense Department, but, they're willing to deal with some contractors. And so do you know how much – and don't worry if you don't, because you kind of have to dig to find this stuff. When you look into federal budgets, you always see percentages of GDP. I wanted to see cold, hard numbers. And so I've looked over the years, and I always have to dig for a while. But do you know how much the discretionary and non-mandatory spending, so non-mandatory could be even include border security, and the discretionary, a lot of that's just, the Department of Interior, Department of Energy, agriculture, on and on. How much of the budget, the federal budget, do you think is discretionary and non-mandatory spending?
Was it about 26%?
Yeah, it's pretty high. So it's actually on par with Medicare and Social Security.
Yeah.
So when we talk about, well, those things are so big and they're out of control, why aren't we talking about the federal government? That bipartisan commission report, and not too many people would read that, it was quite dry, but there was not one recommendation in it for cutting the size of government, only making it more efficient. But there were cuts to Medicare, to Social Security, and to the military. So we're willing to cut all of them, but no, not the government. And I guarantee you when Obama's budget proposal comes out tomorrow, it will not cut the size of the federal government one iota. It'll probably spend more money, but it will have changes to Social Security, Medicare, and in particular, raising of taxes. You're going to see taxes going way up on most everybody. And when he said he wouldn't raise income taxes, he may stick to that for people, you know, making less than $250,000, but your Social Security taxes are going to go up. So you can be an average American family, and you're going to be spending more money every year because of the Social Security tax increase that he is recommending. So anyway, hey, I've got one more caller here. Can you stay on the line for a few more minutes with me, Chris?
Yeah, go ahead.
Somebody calling from the, looks like maybe Brevard County in Florida, 321 area code. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this I'm talking to?
Tom, how you doing? This is Dale Davis.
Dale, how are you doing? Good to hear from you. Dale, we're on the, if you've been listening or you just got on, we're talking with Chris and Kelly. And Kelly had to go meet with the Speaker of the House, the Arizona Legislature, to discuss some business. And she'd just gotten back from New York. But she's the head of the Greater Tea Party, the Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots. But Chris is the vice president, and we're talking with him now. I don't know how much of the show you caught, but did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, Tom, I've been listening to almost the whole show. We've actually been doing a lot of good Tea Party work down here. Obviously, I think our actions have done exceptionally well. I mean, now we have 19 out of 25. Congressional seats, which I know that you did run for in the last cycle. Was what kind of got me to calling in. You guys just recently, in the last 10 minutes, were talking about the birther issue. I mean, to me, I think what we're really probably going to find out is, you know, for the last about 4 or 5 weeks, I've been doing everything I can to help out Donald Trump and his campaign for president, if he decides to do that after his show is over. I think what you were going to probably find out is literally, I think what he's trying to hide is not so much his birth certificate, is that when his mother married Sotoro down in Indonesia, I think we're going to probably wind up finding out that Barack Hussein Obama Jr. is a figment of everybody's imagination. His father's, who he thinks is his father, that was his name, but he's never legally changed his name from Barry Sotoro. And I think that's probably what we'll probably wind up finding out.
Oh, so it's a name issue, a legal name issue versus a birth thing. Oh, okay, interesting.
Well, I think also you'll remember, like I said, he was an attorney for ACORN, which we understand was just a community organizational group. And when he was doing that, we may find that he's also used multiple names and Social Security numbers along the line. So I don't know if he was truly born Kenya or you know, it is becoming a hot topic item. But I think basically what it is definitely scratching the surface. It is definitely an identification. And the other thing I did want to talk to you, because I know you're in the military, and it deals with the Joint Chiefs taking action from, if he is not legally our president, and he did go against the Constitution in Article 5 in taking those actions against Libya, why did the Joint Chiefs of Staff not question that?
Well, it's not the purview or the job of the military to determine constitutional authority, although you're right, they do. We all swear to uphold the Constitution. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't real familiar with the Constitution. They just know, I'm going to take orders from the Commander-in-Chief or whoever my boss is when he says, this is how we're defending the Constitution. In fact,
And that absolutely, Tom, makes my point, because under the War Powers Act of 73, you understand, he only becomes the Commander-in-Chief at a wartime of an issue that is approved by Congress.
He has two approvals from Congress. One is a declaration of war under the War Powers Resolution, and two is, you know, statutory authority. So in other words, like when we've been into Iraq and Afghanistan, we didn't declare war, but we said we're going in and here's why, and the Congress approves that and votes on that. And the third one is imminent danger to the United States of America. So he,
yes, sir.
None of that falls under what he did in Libya. There was no imminent danger to the United States of America. It was a humanitarian effort, supposedly. And the reality is he decided he wanted to affect a regime change. And, you know, that's exactly what the liberal left is always against. We're not supposed to be affecting regime changes and building governments and all that stuff, but that's precisely what he did, because if you'd heard one of my shows earlier in the week, I talked about a no-fly zone. and why what we were doing was absolutely ridiculous and unnecessary to stop his airplanes from flying. But we didn't do that, and the reason we didn't do that is because we wanted to get in there not only to stop his airplanes from flying, but to shoot at his tanks and blow buildings up and other things, and that is that's warfare right there. And so that's the real reason we did it. And before we went in, I was saying to people, and I think I put it out on Facebook and then over the air, I said, if we go in and do a no-fly zone, there's some other reason here other than just stopping his airplanes from flying. And I'm not sure I know what it is unless, you know, he's going to get in really truly involved in this, but he's saying no, just the no-fly zone. Well, we did get involved, and we did have boots on the troop, boots on the ground. Nobody's going to admit that, but I guarantee you we had probably some Navy SEALs and some special forces in there helping out in certain areas, especially if you're going to do targeting. If you really don't want to lose any aircraft, you have to have some people on the ground to help you with the targeting of air defense systems, and he's got a lot of mobile air defense systems, so that was, you know, another reason why we had boots on the ground.
Oh, without a doubt, I believe the Muslim Brotherhood and everything that's going on. I mean, for the first time in 30 years, Iran sends warships up through the Suez Canal. I mean, I can imagine the Middle East right now is one big, huge powder keg, everything that's going on with Israel and throughout Saudi Arabia. I think now that Egypt and Gaddafi and Libya, I think we're really coming to an age of we understand what we have tried to keep out of for the last 600 years. And Tom, it's so good to hear you again. I'm glad to hear you on the air. And like I said, I'll be looking forward to every day. What at 4 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dale. Yeah, people can listen in at USA Talk Radio Network.com. And actually, I think the other website is you can also type in usaradionetwork.com. And, of course, I'm on Facebook at the American Hour Radio Show, Twitter, the American Hour. And we've got a call. I don't recognize the area code, but I know he wants to talk to Chris about the Trump visit. And I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this for the guy, but he had a couple questions for you, Chris. Are you ready?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. All right, sir, 928 area code. You said you had a couple questions maybe for Chris about the Trump visit. What's your name again?
Dan.
Dan. Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Dan. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Sorry I didn't get this show myself. First of all, what was anything discussed about the energy policy for this country in the future with Kelly and Trump and the policy on closing down the border? Do you know?
I do not know yet because I actually haven't gotten a full brief from Kelly yet myself on that. She's on a different wing of the Greater Phoenix Tea Party.
I think if I can just jump in here, it seemed like when Kelly jumped on and she had just gotten back today, she had mentioned the real focus was to get his support on your bill. I don't remember the bill number, but the bill that requires people to prove that they're eligible to run for a particular office. So there may have been some other conversations, but that was the focus of their meeting, I believe.
Yeah. From what I, you know, she just gave me a brief rundown because she, like you say, she's very worn out from that trip. But they were only the three things that were, that they went in there to seek from Mr. Trump, and they ended up getting all of those, which was a commitment of support for this bill, a commitment to come out to Arizona, and I believe that's going to be in June sometime. And then I'm trying to think what the third one was, but they ended up essentially getting everything that they were going out there to do. So I don't know about the other issues, whether they got to talk about anything extra to that as well.
Well, maybe it'll help you out. It looks like Trump, I mentioned this earlier and I just quickly pulled it up, but it looks like Trump is going to be speaking at the South Florida Tea Party and the Florida Tea Party Patriots on the 16th, which is a Saturday. And I know you probably you don't live in Florida, sir, but you could probably go to their websites and probably get either the video. I'm sure somebody is going to videotape it. The media may be there. But hopefully he'll talk about those kinds of things. And, in fact, what I would suggest is you would go look those folks up, South Florida Tea Party and the Florida Tea Party Patriots, and send them some questions. Say, hey, you guys really need to ask Donald to address these issues and see if he'll do that. I don't know if he's just given a keynote speech or he's going to take some questions, but that may be a way to get some of those things answered.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Sure. Well, thanks for calling in. And we're getting close to the end of the hour here. Let's see. We had some good calls. Thanks for calling in, Dale. Appreciate that. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And feel free to call in any other time. In fact, we'll get you on the show for as a guest so you can talk about some of the stuff that you've been working on, and both in the party as well as any of the other groups you've been involved with. And we always like to hear what's going on. And I'm a little out of the loop right now when it comes to Central Florida and what's been going on, but I'm ready to get back in and find out what people are working on. Does that sound good with you, Dale?
Outstanding. Of course, Tom, anything we can do to help you, bud.
All right, yeah. Well, I always look forward to hearing what you guys are doing there in Brevard County, and we'll get caught up with you. I'll give you a call one of these days. We'll set something up. Probably it'll be the beginning of May, because I'm pretty well booked up through the rest of April, but feel free to call in anytime. And then, of course, we've been talking today with the Tea Party group from Greater Phoenix area, Greater Phoenix Tea Party Patriots. We had Kelly Townsend on earlier. That was great talking with her. We're going to have to get her back because we did not have her for long enough. Chris Rossiter, vice president of that group. Good stuff. Thanks for joining us, Chris. We really appreciate it. And it's been nice speaking with you. And let me know if you guys are interested. Or, yeah, talk with Kelly and see if she can you know, shoot me some dates and times she might want to come back on and talk about some stuff.
Yeah. I'll definitely get her back in touch because I know you guys will definitely want to follow up as to what the outcome of this bill is. And,
yeah.
And I'm sure she'll be happy to come back on.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm going to do my sign-off here, and we'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. again. We don't have anybody scheduled, but Thursday, Mark Ross. You're not going to want to miss this. Smart young guy who has written some great articles on the Constitution and our government, and we're going to delve into a lot of that stuff because he's really, really sharp on that stuff, and he's made some points in some of his articles that got my attention, and I really like reading his stuff. You can check him out right now if you want to by going to Hyperblog Cafe. I think it's .com, but do a Google of that and find out a little bit more about him tomorrow. We may be on with our new co-host, Paula Lozon Ostman, and I'm looking forward to working with her, getting her on the air and helping out. And so tomorrow's going to be more of a discussion day, talking about hot topics, the Constitution, and getting Paula involved in the show. And I think you're going to like what she has to say. So please join us tomorrow at the same time, 4 p.m., and I'm getting ready to go fly down to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil tonight. So I will be broadcasting live from Rio tomorrow and Thursday. And then Thursday, as I said, we'll have Mark Ross on. And then we'll be back in Florida for Friday to broadcast live from Florida. All right, everybody, thanks for listening in. It's been a pleasure. Enjoyed talking with all our great guests. And if you just jumped in here at the end listening, you can stream this when the show is over. You can also download it via iTunes. And you can check out our archive shows from the previous week. Everybody have a great rest of the day. Ciao.
Listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.